The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Frank Isola, and I feel really lucky to be back on TTI with my incredible friend.
I'm Ina Kimes, and I feel really lucky to be back on PTI.
Waiting. That's the end of your sentence right there. Nothing else. All right.
So happy.
You want to play that game? We'll see what happens today and tomorrow with you. Welcome to PTI. Mike and Tony should be making the turn right about now. So I'm joined by, despite what she says, my great friend from NFL Live, Mina Kimes. They're disappointed that you weren't, you weren't friendly enough with me. All right, let's start with the struggling Yankees landing an all-star outfielder. The Yankees acquired Andrew Benintendi and his .320 average from the Royals for three minor leaguers. The Yankees right now, they're 66-33 overall, but just 10-12 in July after losing again to the Mets last night. The Yankees already have stars everywhere, Mina. So is Benintendi a key piece or just another piece?
I think he's a key piece with a pretty significant caveat, which is, as of this moment, he is not vaccinated. This matters, of course, because the Yankees play in the American League, and there is a good chance they will have to go up to Toronto to play the Blue Jays in the playoffs. And, well, if they go up there, they can't bring Benintendi unless he's vaccinated. I will say the fact that the Blue Jays were also in hot pursuit of Benintendi suggests he has expressed willingness to do so. And if that is resolved, I think this acquisition is a shot in the arm, not only for Benintendi potentially, but also for the Yankees, who have a gaping hole in the outfield with Stanton out and Joey Gallo struggling the way he has. They needed to get this done. They needed to add a contact hitter at the top of their lineup. I like this move for a team with World Series aspirations.
Yeah, well played with shot in the arm. Now, they do go to Toronto in late September for a three-game series. Now, he had said today that, yes, it's something he'd consider, but right now he's not committed to getting the shot. So we'll see how that all plays out. But from a baseball standpoint, it's big. He leads right now the American League in multi-hit games. He's got 34. He's second in hits, third in batting average. And to your point, he's replacing Joey Gallo. And it's such a Yankee move, Nina, because they lose to the Mets. And, you know, the old boss, George Steinbrenner, the late, great George Steinbrenner, all he cared about was really the Mets, you know, beating them on the back page, and probably the Boston Red Sox. Joey Gallo came up on Tuesday night. They sent him up as a pinch hitter. Two out, runner on. Yankees are down two. Edwin Diaz comes out of the bullpen. What does he do? Strike him out, which is what everybody does. Joey Gallo is batting 161 and 103 strikeouts this season. So they're getting a better hitter, and they're getting a better fielder. This is a classic Yankee move. The fact that it happened after they lost that second game last night to the Mets, the timing of that is interesting because remember now, since the All-Star break, two losses to the Astros, two losses to the Mets. The Yankees kind of know where they sit right now.
Exactly. Although I will say, I do think they also need to add another arm, but it's the Yankees, so they probably will.
They got the money to do it.
Let's move to the NFL, where new Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson is practicing in front of fans for the first time. The Broncos acquired Wilson in March, but did not work out an extension at the time. GM George Payton calls a new deal for Wilson a top priority. But Mark Kisla of the Denver Post argues today that the team should wait to see how Wilson plays before committing. So, Frank, should the Broncos get a deal done or wait and see?
Yeah, I know Mark Kisla, he's looking to stir it up, and I know you know Russell Wilson. This is right down your alley, but here's my thing about Russell Wilson. He's 33 years old, which is relatively young for a quarterback. He has started 158 games in his career and 16 playoff games, and that includes two Super Bowls. The guy's experience. I'm going to run down the list of quarterbacks that have started a game. There's been about 11 of them. I'll give you some names. You stop me if you think they're better than Russell Wilson. Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, not bad. Teddy Bridgewater, not bad. Drew Lock. Nobody in that category is Russell Wilson. So guess what? It's hard to find franchise quarterbacks. He says he wants to spend, you know, the rest of his career in Denver. You know, can you wait a year? That's fine. If I can get him now, I'm signing him up because he's still going to be good for at least another three, 4 years.
So normally I would lean towards extending a franchise quarterback early, and I do think he is a franchise quarterback. Yep. And of course, if he were to leave after they gave up that enormous haul, 5 picks, 2 first rounders, it would be disastrous. But I also think it would be disastrous if they committed to him long-term into his 30s and his trajectory continued on where it's been. Because while Russell Wilson is incredible, over the last couple of years, Frank, he has been a bit underwhelming. Now, the Broncos are betting on a bounce-back year from him, and I bet they're right, but I don't see any harm in waiting to see if that happens before you commit to him long-term.
Well, you know, when you think, first of all, that division, it's amazing how many good quarterbacks are there. And what I love about Denver, you know, since John Elway was there, they've been searching for that guy, and they basically got Peyton Manning on a rental. They got him at the end of his career. When they won a Super Bowl with him, he wasn't nearly the quarterback that he once was. They really won because of their defense. I'm a little surprised. You're all about throwing money at the guys like Kyler Murray. I haven't done anything yet. You're ready to throw over $200 million at him. This is a guy that is proven. He's a proven commodity, and he's still young. Yeah. They made the big move. Why wouldn't you just pay him? Do it now. Why wait?
Well, I don't think he's still young, unlike Kyler Murray. And I'll just say this. Since mid-2020, 19th in expected points added, your favorite statistic per dropback amongst quarterbacks, Frank.
Let me tell you something. 33 is not young. We're all in trouble here, folks, at least some of us. All right, more NFL. After weeks of back and forth, Washington Commanders owner Daniel Snyder testified today before a congressional committee that's investigating allegations of workplace misconduct within the franchise. Snyder testified remotely and voluntarily rather than under subpoena, which means he technically could avoid directly answering some questions. The deposition was not made public, and no transcript has been released. All right, Mina, how, if at all, do you think today's appearance changes things for Dan Snyder?
I don't think it changes anything, and that is a problem. So it's worth refreshing people's memories as to why he's testifying in the first place. You talked about Congress doing their investigation into Washington's toxic culture. That happened because the NFL's investigation was, as you remember, not made public. It was not even written down. And what they found was deeply alarming. So Snyder himself has been accused of both sexual harassment and sexual assault. Allegedly, he knew about people who worked for him who were accused of similar things. And reportedly, he conducted his own shadow investigation, silencing and intimidating witnesses, as reported by the Washington Post. And yet, despite all of this, he has largely escaped punishment, aside from a fine. And today, Frank, as you said, in testifying without a subpoena, he escaped being asked difficult questions. He did this by reportedly, and I am not making this up,
I love this
hiding on his $192 million yacht. Look, I know with Dan Snyder, because there are so many stories like this over such a long period of time, and nothing seems to happen. It is easy to get desensitized to them, but none of this is normal, and none of it is going to change unless we hold the other owners, who are the decision makers here, accountable for keeping him amongst their ranks.
It's so on brand for a sports owner of an American team to be on his yacht somewhere to avoid being subpoenaed. I go back to 2017. Sports Illustrated had this story about Jerry Richardson. And remember, there were allegations there of misconduct, saying inappropriate things. There was the comment about him directing profanity or an ethnic slur at an African-American scout. It just so happened right around that same time, Jerry Richardson said, I'm out. I'm going to sell the Carolina Panthers. So really, ultimately, it comes down to this, Mina. You think it's ever going to reach the point where the league, the other owners, because remember now the commissioner works for Daniel Snyder. It's ever going to reach a point, and there's been a lot of things going on there, and the fans are probably thinking, let's get him out, because this once proud franchise is terrible on and off the field. I don't think it's ever going to reach a point where they're going to make him sell the team. You think it reaches that point?
Well, it has been reported that some owners have expressed discontent, and I would say that might be because there's not only allegations of sexual impropriety, but also financial impropriety,
yeah,
and I think that's ultimately what it would take.
Took the books.
But all we can ask for at this point is for Roger Goodell to call a vote, and then we can see who's actually willing to vote him out.
And Mina, you know what's going to happen, though? All the owners are going to think, I don't want this happening to me, so Daniel Snyder stays. That's what's going to happen. It's still the old boys club when it comes to owners of every professional league. That's the way it works.
We got to keep asking them about it. All right, now to the NBA, where the reigning champion Warriors have some investment decisions to make. Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, and Jordan Poole are all under contract for next season, but also prime for extensions. The Warriors are already projected to be $60 million over the cap next season, and new deals will move the repeater luxury tax dramatically higher. So, Frank, Who should the Warriors prioritize and deprioritize?
Well, what I like is that Draymond Green's already prioritized himself. There was a story in The Athletic that he wants a max extension, even though he has 2 years left on his deal. It's this year, and then he can opt out. But the Warriors traditionally have not offered extensions with a guy, in theory, has 2 years left on his contract. And as you know, timing in life is everything. Can you imagine if the story about Draymond Green came out after the way that he played in games 3 and 4 of the NBA Finals, yeah, saying Draymond wants a max extension? He would have been ridiculed and mocked. He would have been doing new media and a podcast for days upon days because a lot of people would have been crushing him. I think the player that they're not going to prioritize, because going into the NBA Finals, in fact, going into about game 4, there was a lot of talk about disappointment in Jordan Poole. For me, though, he played pretty well the rest of the series. But if you don't pay him, to say, the $27 million, they save so much on luxury tax. And to Joe Lacob's credit, and he got fined for criticizing luxury tax, they're willing to pay the freight to keep a championship team together. But if it comes down to one player, I think it's going to be Jordan Poole.
It's fascinating, right? Because this team was really the poster child for planning, you know, for the present and the future while also keeping the old guard. But it's really hard to do that over the course of multiple years. And now they are faced with these tough choices. Your point about Draymond is well taken. I tend to think he is not going to agitate. He's going to stay on the team, even though, of course, Steph wants him to be around. Yep. I don't think that he'll be gone. And then it comes down to Poole and Wiggins. And this is tricky because Wiggins was such a fantastic two-way player for them in the finals. He was so important. That said, I tend to think he's a little bit more easily replaceable with some of the guys they have. Yeah, Jonathan Kuminga comes to mind, Moses Moody, whereas Poole's shot creation and playmaking, I don't know if they can replace that.
You know, remember Joe Lacob was ticked off because he said, you know, the top 8 players in our rotation are all basically homegrown, as you point out last week. Not Andrew Wiggins, who really was their best player. By the way, Draymond Green in the NBA Finals, I know he's not a scorer. You know, he only scored 37 points in the entire series, and that includes 12 in Game 6. But his value to that team, it's almost as if he's a max player on the Warriors. I don't know about other teams. And look at it this way, Mina. You think somebody else is going to offer Draymond Green the max?
What you just said might be true of Wiggins as well, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't you just see him going to another team and not – I mean, that's always the case with the Warriors. Are they as valuable elsewhere as they are valuable in Golden State? It's hard to say.
One thing, when you go after Wiggins like that, all of Canada is now going to be coming after you. Just remember that. Let's take a break, but coming up, how concerned should the Bucks be about today's injury to starting center Ryan Jensen?
And what's the word for this Ivis pitch from the Japan League All-Star Game?
It's awesome. That's one.
Yeah, I see it.
It's not a Mina Kimes pitch, but it's still not bad.
Pretty similar.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Corona Extra. Find the fine life. Live La Vida Maspina. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by Corona Extra, part of Happy Hour.
Time for the game that hasn't been played on this show for something like, man, it's been 24 hours. What's the word? What do we got first?
Ryan Jensen's injury is blank for the Bucks.
All right, I'm going to say it's uncomfortable, and for people to know, Ryan Jensen got carted off the field. It appears to be a serious knee injury. And why is it uncomfortable? Because Tom Brady, those five guys that are in front of him, that's more important than any other weapon you want to bring in. In fact, maybe they should ask Rob Gronkowski if he could snap the ball in a shotgun, because they're going to need it. The chemistry that the offensive line builds up, and let's face it, more so than any player in the league, Tom Brady needs protection, because I'll use Amina Kimes' line from NFL Live. He has zero escapability. He needs time back there. So anytime you lose a player like that, and Tom Brady, you know, they practice a lot, he's going to be very uncomfortable if this turns out to be a major injury.
Yeah, my word is worrisome because it is very concerning. Look, this Bucks roster is loaded. But if I had to pick one area where it's a bit thin, it's the offensive line, and particularly the interior of the offensive line, because you remember they lost some of their starters last year to free agency. They were able to trade with the New England Patriots to bring in guard Shaq Mason. But losing Ryan Jensen would be particularly yep. brutal, their starting center, in part because not just Tom Brady's lack of escapability, but because, Frank, and this comes up every Super Bowl, one of Tom Brady's very few weaknesses is interior pressure.
Yeah.
And they don't have someone behind him. I wouldn't be surprised if they go out and sign J.C. Treader, who's a center, last with the Browns. But this is not good for a team that should be in contention for the Super Bowl.
And look how long it took them to adjust when they played the Rams last year in the playoffs. I was actually shocked that they tied that game, because to me, Brady was like running for his life the entire game. All right, what do we got next?
Hiromi Ito's Ephus pitch was blank.
Oh, I'm going to go for underutilized. You know, he's used it four times during the regular season, and the batters are 0-for-4 with that pitch. Look at this thing. That thing is absolutely beautiful. I also like no grass on the infield, by the way. You know, Ted Williams, so there was a player by the name of Rip Sewell. A lot of people think he invented the pitch. The only time anybody ever hit a home run off of him was in an All-Star game when the great Ted Williams did it. And then a Red Sox Bill Lee tried it against the Reds in the World Series, and Tony Perez hit a two-run homer over the Green Monster. So if nobody's ever got a hit off you before, keep using it. 0-for-4, and then technically 0-for-5 if you count the All-Star game.
My word is delightful, but I kind of disagree with you. I think if he uses it too much, batters will catch on, because what makes it successful is that it is so surprising and wonky, and that's why I think it's actually the worst pitch to miss out on as a batter, because frankly, as that thing comes, you know, looping in so slowly, not even swing your bat is humiliating. And I also love the pitcher's celebration. I don't know what this is, but I'm gonna do it pretty much every time after I do something good.
You know, it's amazing. You throw one pitch before a major league game, and now all of a sudden you're an expert on pitching. Isn't it amazing how this tender, there's the deepest pitch. Nobody swung at that either. You know what they call that? Unpredictable. Look at that.
You know what? You know what's a big similarity? The catcher's glove didn't have to move.
I love how what they didn't show, you get the mascot, gets the high five. What they didn't show was you backing up right before you threw the pitch, which, as everyone knows, would then be a balk. So I'm calling balk from the press box in that case. Pitch doesn't count. You'll have to go back and do it again. That's the final word. Let's take one last break, but still to come, Kyler Murray. Remember, this story talks about the film study clause in his new contract.
Oh, boy. And there's reportedly a front runner in the race to trade for Juan Soto.
Yankees, Mets, Mariners, your team.
You said it.
Good pitch.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Corona Extra. Find the fine life. Live la vida mas fina. Part of Happy Hour.
It's happy time. Happy 45th birthday. Manu Ginobili, the Lionel Messi of Argentine basketball. Ginobili went from being the 57th overall pick in the 1999 NBA draft to the Hall of Fame class of 2022. Congratulations, Manu. Along the way, Manu won four NBA titles with the San Antonio Spurs, made two All-Star appearances, and won Sixth Man of the Year. However, Ginobili's greatest achievement took place on the international stage. At the 2004 Olympics in Athens, Argentina upset the United States in the semifinals before beating Italy in the gold medal game. I was at both games, Mina, by the way. It marked the first and only time since 1988 that a U.S. team comprised of NBA players didn't win gold at the Olympics. One side note here, this is interesting. Ginobili exchanged his jersey for a basketball with an Olympic official. This was after the gold medal game, only to lose the ball during a post-game celebration at the team hotel. Apparently, teammate Andres Nocioni kicked the ball off a balcony at the hotel, and it just disappeared into the Athens night. Just like that, gone.
Oh, man. I love Manu's stories. I love Manu. I was trying to pinpoint something to say about him because there's so many great things. One thing that really strikes me, Frank, is when he's asked today about the modern NBA, unlike a lot of people his age, we're not that old, 45, he says he loves it. He says he feels like he would thrive in it, you know, with the fast pace and three-point shooting, and I'm inclined to agree. Am I wrong in thinking he could probably come back and play and start in a game?
He was always in great shape. Greatest South American player in the history of the NBA. And by the way, after that Olympics, if you remember, that's when all the American players decided to get together and say, let's win gold. Then you had LeBron and Kobe, obviously, in China for the next Olympics. Happy anniversary, Dennis Martinez and Kenny Rogers. On this day, 31 and 28 years ago, respectively, Martinez and Rogers threw the 13th and 14th perfect games in Major League history. Martinez, named El Presidente, is the first Nicaraguan to play in the majors and the first Latin American-born pitcher to pitch a perfect game, accomplishing the feat in an Expos win over the Dodgers. Exactly 3 years later, Rogers, nicknamed the Gambler, pitched the only perfect game in Texas Rangers history. Today, the perfect game, it's as infrequent as Halley's Comet. In fact, we are closing in on a decade without a perfect game. With analytics and pitch counts ruling the day, this is old man, get off my lawn, starting pitchers rarely go six innings, much less nine. We've had two combined no-hitters this season, Mina, in April, you had Clayton Kershaw, six outs away from a perfect game. He was removed after seven innings because of your analytic people.
You're still mad about that? I knew you were going to bring it up. I absolutely knew it. Let's talk in October when Clayton Kershaw is healthy. First of all, El Presidente and the Gambler sounds like a great buddy comedy.
Yeah, not bad.
It has been a long time, granted, since 2012. But before that, there were spans even longer without a perfect game, 23 years. 33 years, so it's not like we're in this incredible, unprecedented drought as much as you want pitchers to blow out their arms.
You got to get so technical. It was Kershaw's first start of the season, to be fair. Happy trails to the Niners for Dee Ford. San Francisco released the 31-year-old pass rusher yesterday, 3 years after trading a second-rounder to the Chiefs for him. At the time, Ford was coming off a 2018 season of 13 sacks and 7 forced fumbles, but he was also memorably flagged for an offside penalty that led to a comeback win by Tom Brady and the Patriots in that season's AFC title game. Still, the Niners landed him and signed him to a big new deal, but Ford struggled with back problems and played just 18 games over three seasons.
Not a huge surprise, given the depth on San Francisco's defensive line, the amount of money that they saved, and of course, as you alluded to, the fact that he has been banged up. I hate that he's remembered for that offsides penalty because he was so good in Kansas City. Yeah. And despite the injuries, I hope he can return to form.
I think the Chiefs would have gone back-to-back if that penalty hadn't happened. All right, no errors today. We're running out of show. Let's go to the big finish. Kyler Murray told reporters it's, quote, disrespectful and almost a joke that people think he could accomplish what he has without studying for games. Your thoughts?
What's disrespectful is that clause would put in his contract in the first place. He shouldn't be mad at people for interpreting it that way. He should be mad at the team for insisting he have a homework clause. All right, Buster Olney reports that some rival execs believe the Padres are the front runners to land Juan Soto. Would that be a good spot for him?
No, New York is a good spot for him. Mike Trout says his back condition is not career-threatening. He just needs to stay on top of treatment routine. He does. Your thoughts?
Anytime you hear the words rare and back injury, you're going to feel nervous, especially for a guy who hasn't played over 100 games in three seasons. Bubba Watson is joining the Saudi tour. Significant?
Well, he is a two-time Masters champ. He's fallen to number 86 in the world, believe it or not. By the way, Marcus Mariota is starting quarterback for the Falcons. What do you think? Quick.
I think it'll be interesting as long as he stays healthy.
All right, we're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
And I'm Mina Kimes. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.
See you tomorrow.